I'm still on first things first. I hope you are also. And I hope you've been following it closely, because I found that everything we do falls back to Hebrews 11:6. Why don't you go there? In the Phillips New Testament. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. The man who approaches God must have faith in two things. First, that God exists. And secondly, that it's worth a man's while to try to find God. First thing we have to believe is that God exists. Then it says, and. That means along with that, you have to believe he rewards those that diligently seek him. I took a little minute to share on the word diligently. I want to take a little minute because diligently means determinedly, doggedly, hard, industriously, intensely, mightily, purposefully, strenuously. All of those are synonyms for diligently. Feverishly, vehemently, zealously, continuously. Continuously. It means you never stop. Exhaustively, meticulously, every little nook and cranny you're searching. Painstakingly, seriously, tirelessly. Tirelessly. That means you don't do it for a while and say, when is this thing going to end? When am I going to find out? When am I going to when? You're getting tired. And the people you're talking to are getting tired of hearing you moaning. And God's going to get tired of hearing you moaning. And it's not going to make him move any faster. But it's going to make you seem like it's going to take more than an eternity. Because you're not patient. That's a word believers don't like. Patience. See, when we first became believers, we weren't really, well, we were taught wrong. We really were. We were taught, believe it, receive it. You're saying, well, what do you mean that's wrong? That's true. Yeah, it is true. But nowhere between believe and receive or after receive does it say instantly. We don't talk about the patience that's required between believe it and receive it. Yes, some things come right away. Some things don't. Why? Why does a sperm whale, which is the largest mammal on Earth, have a brain about this big? Because that's the way it is. And that's the answer to the question. That's the way it is. Some things come right away. Some things don't. So Jesus healed lepers, told them to go. They got healed as they went. Some got some instantly. We look for the formula. We want the formula. What do I have to do to get the instant part? Don't concentrate on the time. Concentrate on the promise. God said, I am a rewarder of those that never stop seeking me. Never. Your answer may be in the last chair over on this section. You go through all of them, and you stop right there where Star and Shaniqua are sitting. You've looked at everything else, and you said, you know what? It's not here. What about the rest? Why are they going to be any different? Because God didn't tell you specifically where it was. He told you where to go. He gives you an area. He gives you an assignment. We had a member years ago when we were just gotten the property in Nanuet. And this member did construction work and was thinking about starting his own company. God was telling him to send in the proposal to the ministry about doing the work that was needed. And he hemmed and hawed, and a close friend of his said, you know, I'm thinking you should send in the proposal. And he's like, the Holy Ghost has been dealing with me. The guy said, why does he have to deal with you? He told you do it. The pastors accepted his proposal. And a construction company, this was called Daystar Construction, was formed from that one act of obedience. We have a young man now, owns a business, travels back and forth, you know, to other countries. I think he has 28 employees. So where'd the idea come? He said, it came while I was volunteering at the church. I didn't want to volunteer, but I kept getting volunteers, so I came and volunteered. And as I was volunteering, this idea came. So you don't know what's going to happen. We need to stop trying to figure it out and just do what God tells us to do. God, I need a new house. I want to go clean the restrooms at the church. How's that going to help me get in a new house? I want you to go clean the restrooms at the church. I didn't say if everybody run and start cleaning the restroom thinking, oh, God's going to give me a house. But the principle is you have to believe that God exists and that he rewards you if you diligently seek him. And diligently seeking him means you just never stop. You don't give up. The other reason people don't seek God is they think that God won't do it for them. Look at Matthew 7. Show you this in the Amplified Classic. Jesus is speaking to the people. And it says, keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking fervently, and the door, reverently, and the door will be open. Reverently means you don't go to the door and start. Because when we do that other stuff, we're doing it out of frustration. Where is it? I know it's in there somewhere. What's this? Oh, it's not my time yet. Okay, you come back. And one day, door's going to open. Door's going to open. How do I know that? Verse 8. For everyone, say that includes me, who keeps on asking receives. And he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be open. The door will be open. So if you don't first believe God exists, you won't keep seeking him, because no one's going to seek something that they don't think exists. When I was reviewing these notes last night, I thought about that. When it says, you know, you have to keep on doing it, I thought about the Curtis Mayfield song. You keep on keeping on. Then it took me 15 minutes because I went back and looked up all those lyrics, and I said, no, I'm not going to tell you the lyrics. But one of the things that I have found out, maybe you found out also, but a lot of times we are inhibited because we think that what God asks us to do is hard. And not just hard, we think it's too hard to do. First of all, God is not going to ask us to do anything that he hasn't already equipped us to do. But would you turn to Deuteronomy? Because this, you know how I like basics and fundamentals. This is a fundamental when it comes to doing anything that God tells you. This applies to anything that God tells you. Deuteronomy 30, let's start at verse 11, read through to verse 14 in the Amplified Classic Edition. For this commandment, which I command you this day, is not too difficult for you, nor is it far off. It is not a secret laid up in heaven that you should say, who will go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your mind and in your heart so that you can do it. So everything that God says is right here in your grasp. So you can do it. Say, it's not hard for me to do what the word says that I can do. Got it? That's why Matthew 6:33 tells us, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Seek ye first the kingdom. That's in line with first believe that God exists. First, seek the kingdom. And we're going to focus on that portion. I'm going to read that account in a different translation because it says it differently, and it says it in a way that needs to open our eyes. Again, this is the Johnson paraphrase. Again, I repeat, do not live with anxiety. Do not keep asking, what shall we eat and what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we get our clothes? All this continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. I can assure you that your Father, the source of your being, is aware of all your physical needs. Verse 33, where I want to focus. You are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting your relationships right. First priority to the spirit dimension. That means we're going to have a number of important things to do. We're going to have a lot of prioritizing to do. First priority of all of the 6,753 things you need to do, which ones relate to the spirit dimension? That's my priority. That's my priority. Staying home, having breakfast in bed, it's a nice thing to do. Coming out and hearing the word that God has for you, given by the pastor he gave you after his heart, is a spirit dimension priority. I'm glad I had my children when I did. Because folks wouldn't like me now. How dare they schedule soccer games and baseball games and all these other games at the same time I'm to be in church? And how dare I, as a parent, demonstrate to my child your game is more important than the Word of God? I mean, think about that. We are so busy raising our children to be full-time students and part-time Christians. We need to think about that. We want our children to grow up believing you have to put God first as they watch us put God 615. Are we going to church? No, we're not going today because we have this, 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 and this to do. Then we want them to tell them, oh, no, you always put God first. Well, unless there's laundry or shopping or, you know, I got company coming over. Game 7 starts at, you know, and I why are we doing that? And then we wonder why, when tough things come, we can't make the right choice. We've gotten away from making right. Before, we would make choices and didn't even think about it. I'm going to church. I was a basketball player. And by everyone else's account, very good one. And when I first got born again, I had no interest. Phyllis said, oh, you got to come to church. Morris Chapman's in concert. I said, I got a game. See, I was saved. I wasn't converted at the time. But then I find myself a couple of months away, and I'm just coming up on Sundays. But I'm listening, and something started happening to me to the point where I find myself on a free throw line. I was a decent free throw shooter. I'd make in the high 70s. But I'm in a championship game. And I'm standing on the free throw line. I have the basketball in my hand, and I'm just standing there like this. And then I heard a whistle blow. And I was in a fog. I look over, well, why are they blowing the whistle? And the coach is like, Foots, 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 what's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? And I'm looking at him, and I'm in like a daze. I'm like, I don't know. But this is my last game. And he looked at me and said, what are you talking about? Then he said, it's that church stuff, isn't it? And I looked at him, and I said, yeah, it is. Last competitive game I ever played. Last game till I joined the church. The church had a league they asked me to play. I played one game, and that was it. Didn't like it. It's not what I wanted to do. I'm telling you that to let you know there are things that you like now. You're going to find yourself, they just don't mean the same thing. They just don't have the same importance. And they get in the way. And Jesus knew that was going to happen. Look at Matthew 10. He told us there's some choices that we're going to have to make, and we may not like the choices, but we're going to have to make them. This is in the Message Bible. Because the Message Bible just puts it right out there. It says, don't think I've come to make life cozy. I've come to cut. Make a sharp knife cut between son and father, daughter and mother, bride and mother-in-law. Cut through these cozy domestic arrangements and free you for God. Saying, I'm going to take away the family excuse and free you up so that you can give God the service that he desires from you. Well-meaning family members can be your worst enemies. The Bible doesn't really mean you're supposed to give all that time to the Lord. That church just wants your money. Pastor needs a new car. I drive a 2011 Ford Edge, and I'm very happy with it. And when it's time to get another one, I'm going to get another Ford. God has told me, and I've not been obedient, but God has told me to believe for a specific car. He told me that 12 years ago. And I haven't done it because that's not what I wanted. I didn't want to be, there are two things I never wanted to be, absolutely never wanted to be. I never wanted to be a pastor, and I never wanted to be a pastor driving a Cadillac. Those are two things. But God told me to believe for an Escalade 12 years ago and showed it to me. Showed it to me. I was going into Whole Foods on Route 4. And I stepped off and, well, brought to my attention, it didn't honor the crosswalk. So I stepped forth and I jumped back on. And before I could say something derogatory, God said, I want you to believe for that car. I'm like, I don't want an Escalade. But he wants me to, I guess he wants me to have one. Even though I don't want it, it would make sense for me to believe for it. But see, things like that, when God tells you things like that, that's spirit dimension. And I should have been given priority to that. But I said all that to say, we're not out for your money. We call in $80,000 each week. We don't expect it to come from you. More money comes into the ministry from non-members than members. More money comes into the ministry, folks. There was someone that was a member about 15, 20 years ago. They relocated. We didn't hear anything from them. We got a letter from her estate where she left ministry, the money to the ministry in her estate. I'm sitting at my desk reading this information and looking at the mountain. I'm like, wow, God, thank you. I had to look to see if I could look. I didn't know who this person was. You didn't know. I wasn't. I knew every parent I knew because I was in the youth department. And that's why I didn't say, well, this person is a long-term member. They're always at Friday prayer. I said, on Friday nights, I'm in youth fellowship. On Sundays, you know, when there are issues with youth, you come and get me. I get pulled from service. So, no, I don't. After service, I'm talking with parents about something their child did during children's churches. So I didn't get to meet everybody. But that's what I was called. That's what I was called to do. That was my first concern, had to be the spirit dimension. Jesus said, if you prefer father or mother over me, you don't deserve me. If you prefer son or daughter over me, you don't deserve me. If you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. And in thinking about that, the thought came, well, if I am truly concerned about me, I'll seek God first. If I really want what's best for me, I'll seek God first. Because he'll take care of all of those other things. He said, my first priority is the spirit dimension. 2 Corinthians 5 declares, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. So we are brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means we've become spirit beings. Where do you think spirit beings dwell? The spirit dimension. If I'm a spirit being, or since I'm a spirit being, my answers and my actions should be based on what? On what? On the spirit. On the spirit. So why should God have to warn us, walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh? If I am a spirit being, that's how I should walk. So when you think about it, Jesus is really telling us, behave based on who you are. You're a spirit being. Your first priority should be the spirit dimension. That Greek word, kainos, K-A-I-N-O-S, it describes something that's brand new or recently made. It also carries the idea of something that is superior. When we were made spirit beings, we were made superior to once we once to who we once were. The new you is superior to the old you. That's why we're new creatures. We are something that had never been seen before on this earth. A human being walking, doing business in the spirit realm. There's another thing about that I found interesting. I want to jump to it. Bible tells us we are God's workmanship. It tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. We're made in the image and likeness of God. So guess what? We're spirit. The Message Bible says God is sheer spirit itself. Those who worship him must do so out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves, in adoration. So again, our true self is spirit. That's what we've become when we receive Christ. Spirit. But it says also in verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors. Does everyone understand that ambassadors are citizens of another country? Do we understand it? Do we know that? We know that the ambassadors that walk around here, they're not from the United States. They come here from another country. And let me tell you something about ambassadors. If an ambassador should have a need, where do they go to have that need taken care of? Would you say it again, Minister Joe? They go to the government of their country that they came from. They don't go to those in authority in the region to where they're sent and say, please help me out. No, their sustenance comes from the one who sent them. And their only priority, not their first priority, their only priority is to look after the interests for which they were sent. Whatever that ambassador was sent to accomplish, that's his or her priority. And I'll tell you something else. They are immune to local regulations and ordinances. Try and give them a parking ticket. They have diplomatic immunity. What is that movie with Danny Glover? Lethal Weapon 2. Diplomatic immunity. I'm not going to talk about the part that was just been canceled. But the point is, we are citizens of heaven. We're citizens of heaven. Ambassadors for Christ. So we're citizens of heaven, and we're sent here to the earth realm to perform a service for our country. Not the country in which we now find ourselves, but the one that sent us, the kingdom that sent us, the realm that sent us, the dimension that sent us. So why is it so hard for us to live in the spirit? The answer is we've gone off mission. And we started intermingling and intertwining ourselves with the things of this world. And as Minister Joe shared, it's pulled us away from our first love, the country where our citizenship is. And we're substituting the world for the things we should get from heaven. We would rather go with what the world says it will provide than with what heaven has already provided. The narrative used to be you will not go with something that's unknown. That seems to have changed. This is exciting. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't like living like that. I like to know as much as I can about what's coming next, because I want to be ready. We are citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven operate in the spirit dimension. So the spirit dimension should be our first priority, and it's not hard to do because it's who we are. It's who we are. It's not hard for you to be the mother of your children, the father of your children. That's who you are. It's not hard for you to be a child of your parents. That's who you are. You're going to do things that represent the household. One of the lines that used to come from my household was, and in fact, my son said it to my grandson, because my grandson went from Pop Warner football to high school football. And no one listened to me when I told them it's a big difference. See, Pop Warner, you're only going to play against the kids your age, and they have weight restrictions and all that stuff that makes people soft. But when you go to high school, you can play against me. Well, it does. Okay, let me step over here for a minute. I don't remember where I stepped away from. So I can find my way back. One of the things that's wrong with this young people generation is they've been brought up with the nonsense, everybody's a winner. There are no losers here. We all get up a trophy. You played lousy, you act like you didn't even know the game, but good job. And then now they're 17, 18, and they're trying to get a job with no skills. So it's because I'm black. No, it's because you're unskilled. The real world doesn't give you a trophy because you showed up for an interview. Thank you so much for coming here. Take a Mercedes. That's stupid, but that's what we've raised children to believe. All I have to do is be there, and I'm entitled. You're entitled to learn. You're entitled to work. You're entitled to demonstrate that you can. You have those entitlements, but you're not entitled just because you're you. But we've trained a generation of people to think that. And we have to stop. We have to correct it. And we have to stop blaming them because they believed it. God gave us the Bible, and even with that, he didn't expect us to just read the Bible and understand what we're supposed to do. He said, meditate on it day and night. He said, observe to do it. It means think about how it fits into your everyday life. And he said, observe to do all that's written. We're all guilty of observing to do some. There's some things we know it's in there, but because it goes against what we really want to do, we kind of overlook it. Just a little bit. just enough to do what we want to do, we'll overlook it. Then crisis comes, and we're so busy being slack with it, we forget what we've been taught. How many of you know the song, It Is Well? You know, people say, well, I heard that. I was at a funeral on Tuesday, and they played that song. And I heard something in that song that I never heard before. Whatever my lot, which means no matter what's going on with me, says, thou hast taught me to say. So it wasn't things happening, you just know right away, I'm going to say this, this is what it is. Well, no, you were taught, which means someone had to tell you this is how you handle things, and you had to believe it. So now when something happens, you can say, it doesn't matter what's been going on because I've been taught. And because I've been taught, it's well with my soul. Yeah, things may be crazy out here, but my soul is at peace. It's well with me. I understand the greater one lives in me. I understand Jesus gave me the peace that passes all understanding. I understand that because I've been taught. So it is well. Why am I telling you this? Because the devil is coming after the teaching that you received. Read the parable of the sower. The seed is the taught word of God. The devil is trying to get the seed away, to get the teaching away so you'll go with anything. And I'm here to let you know you don't have to let this, whether the seed goes away or not, is dependent on you, not the devil. He's powerful, but you've been given power over all the power he possesses. So that makes you more powerful. So, folks, let me just wrap this up. I apologize for that. Being, I took you to more places than I intended. Let me reel you back in. When you seek, when you make your first priority your spirit dimension, anything else that you need, all your physical needs and stuff, they'll be taken care of. In John 4, the King James Version, beginning with verse 31, it says, in the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, that means his disciples were begging him and pleading with him, saying, eat. Eat. People still do that. They call you up and you're telling your business, well, did you eat? No, I'm going to eat. Well, you got to eat. I know I have to eat. I'm going to eat. Well, just make sure you eat. But Jesus said unto them in verse 32, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, his disciples one to another that means that the disciples started talking one to another. Has any man brought him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus said, my meat, what gives me the nourishment I need is putting first, letting my first priority be the kingdom dimension, not breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Kingdom dimension. In Matthew 26, got to see this. I'm going to close after I share this thought. This is when Jesus is in Gethsemane. He just finished praying, and Judas was leading the group of people to come and arrest him. Jesus said to him, my friend, how did Jesus address him? And he knew the man was about to betray him, and he knew everything he was going to go through because of the betrayal, and he still said, my friend. He said, go ahead and do what you've come for. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him, but one of the men with Jesus pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. "Put away your sword," Jesus told him. "Those who use the sword will die by the sword." Now listen to this. "Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us and he would send them instantly?" So Jesus was aware that all he had to do was pray and God would answer his prayer. But then he said something else. He said, "But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what was happened?" He said, "I can do this, but what's going to happen if I do? If I do this, I may be fine. Everybody else goes to hell. Because now there's no one to be their savior. So while I may not like having to go through this, I'm a citizen of heaven. I've come representing the Father God. So even though I have the authority, I have the power to stop this from happening. If I did that, if I exercised that power in this instance, how will the scriptures be fulfilled? So Jesus knew that his responsibility, no matter what he felt personally, was to keep first things first, to do what he was sent here to do, and that was die for the sins of many, die for people who never liked him and never would like him, die for people who still curse him to this day. He died to people who said, "I'll never believe Jesus. All the Christian stuff is phony. The church is phony. God doesn't." He died for all those people. And he didn't have to. He could have chosen another way. But his first priority was the spirit dimension. Now, God isn't asking us to be crucified, although sometimes it feels like it. But he is asking us to be obedient. How you feel about it is just that. It's a feeling. Change the way you feel. That's all. Change the way you feel. There's some things I used to like doing. I don't like doing them anymore. Did they change? No, I did. And so can you. Everybody say, "I'm going to seek first." No, say it. Let's say it. "I'm going to seek first."
I'm going to seek first.
The spirit dimension.
The spirit dimension.
It will have my first priority. And
I expect
that all the other things will work themselves out. And turn and look at someone and say, "And I mean what I said." Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for the word that you shared with us this morning. All of it, Father. All of it. The word concerning the pandemic. The word about backing away from our first love. The word about giving. All of those words, you wanted us to hear them today. And we've heard, and now we're being held accountable for what we heard. As you said, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say." Well, we've heard, and now we have an opportunity to do. We thank you, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, or through the Holy Spirit, we will be reminded not only of this lesson, but about how it applies to everything that we do from this moment on. And we give you thanks, Father, as we go looking at things with a new attitude. And we expect our productivity as believers to increase because of what we heard today. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Is there anyone here? I kind of sort of know everybody also. Just want to make sure. Is there anyone in here that has not received Jesus Christ as Savior? Because if you haven't, I have a confession for you to make. Amen. first priority, spirit dimension. Yes, you have a lot of things on your plate. First priority, spirit dimension. You have a plate, and you have all of these choices on what you're going to eat first. What do you need? Fork. You need to get a fork. You have that right tool before you can decide, what am I going to do first? Our tool is the Holy Ghost. We have all of these things. Which is the first priority in the spirit dimension? Don't even try and figure it out yourself. Just ask. Okay, Lord, where's the fork? You're the fork. What do I tackle first? And that's what you go after. It's really simple. See, I make a joke about everything. I tend to, because the word should be fun, not funny. And you should be able to feel good doing what God told you to do, and you should be able to have a good time doing what God told you to do, because people are watching you do what you say God told you to do, and they don't want you coming up here frowning, saying things under your breath. Well, praise the Lord. What am I doing here today? I'm all this. Yeah, what was it? Oh, yes. Isn't the Lord good? Yeah, he told me to come out here also. I could have been doing something else and having me come into this place. The Bible says, not grudgingly or of necessity. When you volunteer, you are giving. It's just like a tithe. You're giving part of your time to the work of the ministry. And God will honor you for that.